All right, so here we are with another episode of Less Kevin, More Tech from utechit.com.
It's a lot of Less Kevin today.
It's a lot of Less Kevin.
He actually decided to take the day off.
Yeah, I mean, you know, probably out golfing somewhere, right?
Yeah, I feel bad, like I'm not that important.
You're important. You're important, at least today.
Yep. Actually, well, I think I'll flip it. John, you're so important. You're so elevated. Exactly.
Got it. I like that. You always, right, you put the positive spin on it.
Yes. Got it. So Vince Parlov, you and John, you guys go back away a long time.
We do, yep.
Yeah, so I'd like to hear more about how, you know, the relationship and how you guys know each other and what you see going forward here.
Well, I think initially the relationship is we competed against each other for a number of years and knew of each other, just like everybody in certain business verticals do. And then more recently, probably in the last couple of years, we became closer as John built his company, the Mortgage Broker Builder. And helps people get in the space.
Yeah.
So that's in a nutshell, that's it.
So the Mortgage Broker Builder. I like
that. You got it.
After 25 plus years of working for people, I kind of saw just being in the mortgage space for years, right? And that's how Vince and I initially met. And we've got a mecca here in the Metro Detroit area. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, the largest lenders. There's, you know, two MBA teams owned by lenders here.
Yeah.
Right? Where else can you have that?
Yeah.
Nowhere. But, right, it's a very competitive landscape, and there's thousands of people that have been employed here. But you also have a lot of people that's kind of, you know, the top, the people at the top make a lot of money, and there were people down through the middle that really didn't excel.
Or right.
You get these ups and downs in the market, but they were making house payments and buying Teslas and Lexuses and driving Lambos, and then the market goes down, and they're, like, missing mortgage payments.
Right.
So I kind of just saw a need that, you know, and I think everybody does, is you get closer to 100 than to zero, where you really kind of want to pour back into people and help them create some generational wealth. So I started a company that actually helps individual bankers go out and create their own company, right? And so, like, take that step from being an entrepreneur working for somebody to go out and actually begin to, you know, build a personal brand, build your own thing that you can pass on and hand off to your kids and someone else. So helping them take that leap.
So that's excellent. This is really a new concept for me, but when I'm listening to it, it really kind of sounds almost like you've spent the decades developing the systems. You know what works. You know what doesn't work. It's almost like you've created a blueprint.
Well, we call ourselves a broker builder.
Yeah. Right?
And we do. Like, I run these little plays. I call them blueprints. Like, how do you get a real estate agent? It's all business as a whole. It doesn't really matter what you're doing. If you've done it a couple of times, you can teach somebody else to do it. And pretty much everything has a systematic approach. It's just, are you smart enough to figure it out?
Yeah.
Right? If it's the first time, if I gave, you know, a person showed up here with nothing and you laid out a bunch of clothes for them and said, get dressed, they may put, you know, the pants on before their underwear. So once you've been through that a couple of times, you know, okay, like, I need the underwear on first and then I need my pants and it's hard to slide my pants on over my socks. So you just get by doing the reps, you just can help them. And I like to say, and this is something I stole from somebody else, but I can give them the lessons without the scars. And I think that anybody in business, right, somebody comes to you guys and they want help with something, you can give them the lessons without the scars, and that's why you pay for, right? It's why business exists and why people do
it. I like the clothing analogy. Vince must have told you what I show up like sometimes.
Every once in a while, we got to help them out.
Yeah.
So. I mean, it happens to all of us. It's not, I mean, it's just, it's a guy thing, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That's beside the point.
Hey, dive deeper into, you know, you kind of touched on it. These, you know, this relates really with all organizations in any, like, vertical that you can do, whether it's copiers, whether it's mortgages and things of that nature. Maybe expound on that, what, you know, your experience has been.
With
just helping folks in regards to taking it from,
business role.
You know, their business role.
So I think as you look at, and one of the first things that I do, especially, so I have, I like to say I'm in the B2B business.
Mm-hmm.
And really there's three B2Bs that I do. And we can kind of like touch on all of them. But one is banker to better. So I actually help to help individual bankers become better. I help bankers become brokers. And then I help brokers become better. But inside of each of those three verticals with all business, you have key constraints. So every single human being on the world has their weakest link. And if you can go through and identify, come up with some kind of process to identify what is that individual's weakest link, then what do I need to do? What value can I add? How can I help them overcome that? And it's really funny as I talk to, you know, existing brokers. So people that have been in business, let's say they got in business 2019. Okay. I opened a shop. I called Vince over, you know, where he was at his last place. And, oh, I'm gung-ho. And the market rates were so low.
Yeah.
They got all these self-positives. Fast forward now 4 years. They've been in business 4 years, but really they've been in business 1 year, four times.
Mm.
Their poop's not in a group yet, right? They don't have all their tech working. They're really like a startup mm-hmm. that had these false positives in a market that, you know, yes. anybody could do business.
Yeah.
And so you have to kind of step back and look at their business and say, here, if we can fix these two, three things, we can 4X your business. Right? We get your CRM working, right? Just to where you have basic communication happening. We get this working. And their business, like, it accelerates, but it takes sometimes somebody from the outside
yeah.
coming in and looking at it. The same way, right, if I use printers, if I'm at a place and I have to print thousands of pages and I'm using something that I need to go to Costco every other day for a new cartridge for my black because it runs out and it costs $82, well, like, my key constraint is the black cartridge. So, but people don't see it, right? They're just stuck in there. They've got their head down. And so sometimes looking at it from the outside and identifying those key constraints, and then how can you as a business owner, it doesn't matter what business, how can you solve that key constraint? And you can, I mean, it's easy to get a business to get a lot of traction fast. Yeah. The hard part in consulting is keeping them, yeah. right? You show them give them the key to the, you know, how it all works. And then they're like, well, I don't need you anymore. I'm just going to execute on that.
You're basically in the business of getting people up and running and helping be successful. And then once they're successful, what can we do to become even more successful? So how do you acquire your clients?
Almost everything that I do today is just via social media. So
really?
It's out there just being in front of people, right? You give back value. And the world today is so full of people that are full of crap, right? I mean, I can post whatever I want. I can borrow mm-hmm. Vince's Lambo. Right, I can borrow somebody else's Rolex and go stand out there in a Speedo, right? Like I'm like, and do some Photoshop and look like I'm tan and jacked. And right, people yeah. give it a false sense of, yeah. you know, that's out there.
You gotta shake the visual real quick. The yeah, Speedo.
The Speedo and
his Lambo.
His Lambo, yeah, right? The yeah. red Lambo. I saw it out in the parking lot.
Yeah. You're not going to lay on the hood, though, right?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it depends, right? So a lot of just what you get, though, is through... You know, I have the luxury of 25 years of doing
right,
it.
Yeah.
I know
you have the scars.
I have the scars. Yeah. But in addition to that, I just think that when you're out there consistently,
mm-hmm.
we're moving to a world that's moving away from, you know, you used to hear if you go back 15 years ago, you know, the name on the front of the jersey is more important than the name on the back. And I don't know that that's necessarily the case anymore.
Mm.
I really advocate for people that I'm working with to start building a portable personal brand.
Mm-hmm.
To where the loan officer of the future, or really the salesperson in the future, it doesn't matter where you're at. If I can come here, and I'm a copy saleser, and I've got 1,000 followers on my Instagram, or 1 million followers.
Yeah.
And I want to say, I got 1 million followers. The orders are going to come. I want 50 grand a month in a base salary. I want the number one parking spot. Do you want to hire me? Yes or no? Never in the past did they have that ability yeah. to negotiate. Today, I don't know that there's the million, you know, the follower with 1 million people, but if that person did exist, they are significantly more valuable. So you create a personal brand.
Right, yeah.
It's now portable, and the world's made it so easy. There's so many different client retention systems, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, TikTok. Those are all CRMs. I don't care what your non-compete says. You can't. Yeah. You don't own somebody's that, and they can right. move that all over the place.
Hey, I just got it. Jump in on this thing. So it's 15 years ago, right? This did not exist.
Not at all.
Too big. It's too much of a barrier of entry, right? Just personally brand 15 years ago, you know, to get an advertisement on TV, to get a video film, you know, movie. But today, that barrier of entry's fallen away. Where do you see it in 24 months, 36 months?
I think that the mortgage space just, right, and I keep going back to mortgage, just, and I think a lot of industries are this way. Is that you had this transition, and I help people become brokers.
Mm-hmm.
If you go back like 2005, 50% of all loans closed via a broker channel. Fast forward to like 2009 after the collapse and the crash, like, I don't know exactly the number. Different people will tell you different things, but it's probably 10%.
So really?
50% to 10% almost died. And you had a lot of kind of headwinds. You had all this regulation from the federal government. You had this tech that you now needed to have, right? Mm-hmm. When I started, I did stuff handwritten on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
But I now needed all this tech. I needed to have this infrastructure inside of companies. I needed servers with redundancy and air conditioning and diesel generators. Like, and it was not cheap. So a lot of the small guys, you couldn't operate out of your garage. So you fast forward, you know, 2015, you start getting things that are cloud-based. Tech becomes easier and easier. The licensing process is not so arduous. There's now companies that are coming in and filling those little niches. Fast forward to where we are today, the tech is probably better for the small independent person than the large company. Because the large company has millions of dollars invested. They have legacy systems. They got to, they kind of are
handcuffed to the past.
And they, you know, somebody with a C in their title made a decision. And now, right, there's the politics and all that crap. If I'm a small little broker and I want to change something, I just like wake up one day and I decide to change so they can be really nimble.
Yeah.
Branding, you used to have to go on, you know, TV and you had to have, you know, 800-333 Rock and you had to spend millions of dollars to, you know, just infuse your market with your name. Now I can do that. You know, I can do it in my underwear. I can do it wherever I want, just on my phone. I can start to get out there. So the market is really moving away from those large, you know, ad agencies and more towards a personal thing. And if I'm just looking at being, you know, I want to be the mortgage guy from Ann Arbor and I want to just do, right, if I'm a mortgage person and I want to do, you know, 10 loans a month and I can make $5,000 off of each one, that's six, you know, like, okay, like that's not a bad gig. It's $600,000 a year.
Right.
Little small marketplace. And just once a week, I go and interview a business owner and I put it up on my TikTok. And I, right, and I just start building this brand that snowballs.
So I've heard you mention a variety of platforms, right? So if you were to just rank it right now, what do you think is the most powerful to the least powerful? Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Google,
TikTok.
TikTok.
Depends on what you're trying to do. I think that LinkedIn is seeing, in the business side, LinkedIn is just seeing this resurgence. There's ton of great content out there, just a lot of stuff on LinkedIn. YouTube is actually the world's second largest search engine.
Wow.
So more people go to search YouTube than they do, right? It goes Google and then YouTube.
No kidding, huh?
So if you want to search how to install tile,
you're
going to YouTube, and that's going to become your search engine.
And it's video.
And it's
rich content.
It's video, it's how-to guides, but I mean there's and that's owned by Google. So Google really owns one and two.
Yeah.
And then you've got younger people. If you're trying to target younger people, you know, a lot of them are going to platforms like TikTok.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not a marketing guy.
You are a marketing guy.
I'm a marketing guy because of necessity, and it's the world we live in, and we're all marketing people.
Absolutely.
Yep. Intentionally or unintentionally, every single day you're building your brand.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not, right? Like the way you walk out of your house, your neighbors look at how you dress, what kind of car do you drive. It's a brand.
Vince again telling you how I dress.
But, you know, it's a brand, and we don't have to like it. It's just the world we live in. Everything is being displayed. You can either lean into it and take advantage of it. You can lean away from it and let it. But it's going to happen. Like, nobody cares what I think.
Right, exactly.
You went through the biggest ones now. Give people a peek into, you know, what your strategy is specifically. What are you hitting?
I am primarily focused on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Just because I can very specifically target who I'm reaching out to. I know what the people are, what kind of demographics they are. They put a lot of information out there to be had, right? So I can target specific people. And you can even pay for premium things inside of LinkedIn where there's thousands of ways to get very granular with who you end up in front of. So I do that.
I think it's fantastic.
But big data, though, like I just had some people on my show. I do a podcast, but I had some people on with a company called Model Match. And there's companies called MMI. There's these companies out there that just aggregate big data. And right now, I mean, I can go, but when you show up at Kroger, like there's somebody out there that knows, they know.
Right.
Like, if you're in your, like, you got kids in their 30s, there's tech people that will know that your daughter-in-law is pregnant before you do,
yeah.
right? Because yeah. they know what you've purchased at Kroger. They know the frequency. They know what you did here. They know all of your moves, and they know it better than you. They actually know when you're going to buy something.
Have you gotten the digital coupon from Walgreens? When you physically walk into the Walgreens and your phone goes dink, and it'll be a coupon on something that you commonly buy.
Yeah. Well, the same, crazy. Right? Like right now we're talking about something and we're going to get stuff from Amazon. There's going to be ads showing up in our feed because our cell phones are listening to us. So just the world's changing so much. And I don't know what platforms or where it's going to be. I just know that if you're not aware that this is happening, or you want to pretend like it's not, or you want to continue to do your traditional sales methods that, more power to you. Just understand that you're going to be surpassed by somebody that's leaning into the new things.
Yeah. I've heard you now say that a couple of times today about leaning into. That's an important philosophy for you.
Yeah. I think that it's a philosophy for life. Mm-hmm. We can try to control whatever you can. The world's going to happen.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what I think, or it doesn't matter how I feel. All I can do is look at what's there, control the things that I can control. And I like to say leaning in, it doesn't mean that you go all in and commit to it. It just means that I'm going to understand that it's there.
Take action.
And I'm going to do something with that information. Too many victims. Right?
Yeah. I was just with a former colleague of mine, that actually the pace of what goes on out there, you're not only just getting, if we say, I need a pair of shoes and you get a $10 certificate from Nike. Now they're starting to look at, hey, Vince Parlove goes to Home Depot pretty much every other Saturday to pick something up. And then his wife goes to Kroger's, and then, they follow all this stuff. I mean, now you're getting so deep into this. It's the frequency.
Does it track that you leave Home Depot and then you go to CVS and buy a package of Band-Aids?
It's tracking all that.
All that.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
Trying to get the frequency. Yep.
It knows where your cell phone is. Your cell phone knows, it knows as it moves around the world.
Mm-hmm.
It knows, they know what room you sleep in, where your phone charges at night. It's the world we live in today. There is zero privacy.
Yeah.
And you have people that, I know people that put their phones when they go home in these they're conspiracy theories, right? But they put their phones in a UV type bag to where the signal is no longer transmitted out.
Yeah.
So they Crazy. Block it. Yeah. But they're all special forces. They're all ex-military guys. They're all people that had, some kind of government clearance. They're not leaving their phone sitting out. They don't leave things plugged in,
mm-hmm.
right? So they operate at a different level. They have better information probably than I mm-hmm. do. I should probably look at what they do and say, that might not be a bad idea.
So you're coaching these business owners, these entrepreneurs, and you're helping them become better and what I hear is based upon your decades of experience in the mortgage industry. That's kind of your focal point. Do you personally have plans with your own brand to maybe do other business verticals?
I would like to. So I have the mortgage broker builder where we're specifically, but I also my parent company is CEO 1440. What that is that you're the CEO of your 1,440 minutes every day. And that's been something that I've talked about since it was 2003. I did a, mm-hmm. A presentation, and I talked about being the CEO of your own business.
Yeah.
And to start looking at your business as a CEO, right? If I'm a CEO of my business, what's a CEO's job? In a publicly traded company, it's to drive shareholder value. If you're the CEO of your business, your job is to drive shareholder value. Okay. So who are my shareholders? My wife, my kids. It's not my neighbor. Right? I don't care what they think. I need to drive shareholder value and think ruthless CEO around driving your shareholder value. And then what actions do I need to take to maximize that profitability? I want to be the most greediest man on Wall Street when it comes to my 1440, to my family, to my business. I will, you'll salt the earth to protect your family.
Yeah.
And if not, you should.
Yeah.
Right? So we have a duty as men. Right. And I have this kind of principle, I have a duty as a man.
Yeah.
I have four pillars. Thing number one is I must protect. Right. Until you can protect your family, right, as your CEO, nothing else matters. Number two, once I can protect, I got to provide for them. So they're safe. Now I provide for them. Number three is to pass on. right? Traditions, beliefs, values. Like, again, if I'm the CEO, I got to do those things to my company. And the last thing is to play, right? And that's like, right, it's got to be fun and playful. Mm-hmm. But I don't go home, you know, I don't take the day off of work to play with my kids when I haven't provided, like, I need those hierarchies.
Right. It's like your hierarchy of needs.
And the world's kind of backwards today, right? We try to play first mm-hmm. before you protect or provide. And then they want to know, like, why is stuff messed up? Well, it's because you're not a very good CEO. If your CEO here only wants to have, like, coffee and slushy day, and it's never about, like, making the calls and doing the work, well, yeah, it's great for a little while until you're out of business and laid off. Then it's, yeah, right, then you blame them. Yep. So you have to have, we have a duty to go down these things and be the most ruthless person for your, you know, for your company.
Yeah. So CEO 1440 is the parent company.
Yep.
Mortgage builder business.
Mortgage broker builder. It's a mouthful.
Yeah. MBB. Yeah. And so is there then a subset around individual personal growth? I'm just trying to piece those together right
now. It all kind of, right? Like I was in the game, right? Up until roughly a year ago, I was the chief revenue officer for a fintech mortgage company. And, right, kind of transitioned out of doing that into more of a consulting role. With them and started picking up other clients and just decided I'm never working for a W-2 again. Like, it's just a terrible, like, I don't say that in a bad way. It just doesn't work for me.
Today, right?
Like, and who knows, right? You get like weird offers that come at you. What seems to happen is you start these businesses and then somebody comes at you with a crazy offer. And you're like, I'll do that. And
so
right,
Vince, we're not going to offer him a fax territory. No faxes.
Yeah, no, I'm out. You're out. But you know, so like that kind of started this, like, was roughly a year ago, and just picking up some consulting clients here and there. And there's a lot of like a lot of stuff that's not figured out, but really getting stuff dialed in, figuring out how the business will work. And the only way to figure it out is just to make trial and error, right? Yeah. You go out, you break something, you mess it up, and you iterate from there. And you make a little tweak. I do see probably my business as it moves forward. This helping companies become and launch to become a broker, in hindsight, was kind of a terrible idea. Great from like the individual broker standpoint. Mm-hmm. But if you look at business, what makes a good business is that you can scale it profitably.
All right.
And what I'm dealing with there is there's like 60% of it that's scalable. It's repeated. And then there's 40% that's nuanced, right? I'm dealing with humans still. And they have, you know, different
weird
ideas.
Weird creatures.
Yeah, yes. Different
weird
ideas.
Creatures.
How they want to market stuff. And, you know, so it's 40% of it's very nuanced, which is just not a scalable business. And what I should charge to help somebody is a fraction, is, you know, 10x what I am charging. So so it's just, it's not a super scalable business. But that being said, I'm still doing it.
So what do you got in your mind that is scalable?
Well,
what do you want to go try next?
I think that it's just going to morph. Is that a lot of the people that I talk to that would be a candidate to go and create their own company? The problem with them isn't them; it's that they don't have the skill set yet developed to do that. Mm-hmm. So then I'm coming back in and rebuilding foundational stuff. It'd be like if I found some guy that was 7'3" and he never played basketball. But he's had a body that looked like LeBron James. Like, I'd take a shot on him at the NBA. Just understand it's going to take me months to teach him how to dribble. And here's a net. And here's, right, like, so you have to then teach all those skills.
Yeah.
So I really think that as my business kind of develops, we'll be more just at that banker level, doing more stuff at that individual to prepare them just to be better business people themselves, even if they work for someone else. But that can be very scalable, right? I can take 1,000 salespeople and give them 5 or 6 things that can help all of their businesses. It's not as nuanced.
So is there a spot in your plans or your strategies to build an annuity stream for you personally on your business?
There's all kinds of ways to monetize things.
Yeah.
Right? And it all depends on at what time do you want to really lean into trying to monetize a business? Some people try and do it from day one, right? I build a course and I want to sell it for $29. Well, if your course sucks, like, yeah, you sold a couple of them, but you lose credibility. So I think there's a variety of ways to do that. To me right now, if I can just add value, you add enough value, like, people will pay you for that.
Yep.
And so I'm not overly concerned with the exact, you know, how you do that. But I do think that there's some cool tech things. there's some stuff that if I do have this belief that more and more loans will close via a broker channel,
yeah,
I think it'll be half in the next few years.
Really?
Like back to half of all loans will close that way. For a couple of reasons. The biggest one being, you know, this big company in Detroit now has a like a TPO channel or like a broker channel.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're pretty agnostic to how they get their, you know, 15% of the market share. They don't care if it closes through their retail center or mm-hmm. their broker center. They just want to be the dominant player, right? Yeah. So at the end of the day, they don't care. Nobody calls and says, Rocket, you deposited $100 million this month. It came from this channel. Like, nobody cares. They just want to know that there's $100 million going in there.
Yeah.
So they've become agnostic.
Yep.
I think. And a lot of the old garb is out. Like the old people that built the company, it's now new blood that mm-hmm. I think is even more focused on just driving revenue across all their channels.
Is Suspenders coming back?
Suspenders? No. No Suspenders.
No Suspenders. Well, I think I told you, I mean, does he fit the bill? I told you he'd bring the energy and
yeah.
it'd be tough for us to get in. You've led some great questions today, but yeah.
Yeah, I talk a lot.
Do you deliver results?
Yeah, I think that I deliver results and feel very confident in that. If somebody's, like I look at kind of what's happening out there and feel extremely certain that if somebody's working with me, they're going to be not, you know, in the top 50%. I think that over a pretty short period of time,
mm-hmm.
you know, 3 to 6 months, we can land them in the top 10% of all bankers out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not very hard, right? You got to remember half of the world's below average.
Yeah.
They just don't realize it, right? If you think about that, like it's kind of crazy.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But if I pull everybody in here, half of us are below average drivers in this room.
Yeah.
But we would all say, I'm a better than average driver. I'm better than average good looking. Yet most people, right? Like half are below average.
Yeah.
So it's really like to get somebody just past that initial standpoint is pretty easy.
But to get that thing satisfied, we got to see Vince in his Speedo on top of his Lambo.
No Speedo.
I mean, we're talking.
Yep. For the record, no Lambo either.
I think it's funny, though. But that's what you see on social media, right? It's like everybody's posing.
Yeah.
And the world's full of people that have done absolutely nothing. I love the 25-year-old life coach that's providing marriage and children advice. That's never been married, never had a kid.
Yeah.
And they just have $250,000 of student loan debt.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and that's your coach.
Yeah.
But it's the world we live in, right? So it's easy to pretend.
I think what we should do is that we set a lot of markers here. We got to have John back in 6 months, and we'll
are we coming
we'll
up on our time?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't see my, I'm not there.
It's all good. Yeah. It's all good. But no, I think what we need to do is we need to put a marker here, and then let's have a.
Yeah. And here's the one thing I'd like to talk about when he comes back. French fries are always on the left.
Okay.
You know, you go to McDonald's, where's the fries?
On the left.
Always. And that's because somebody's done what you've done for making fries, right?
Yep.
And I like to just think about ways that we can extrapolate that out into other areas.
Cool.
Yeah, and just one thing for your listeners, like, that is just super important. At any given minute, we all have one thing in our lives that we're not doing, that we know, right? It's not, I don't need a coach. I know that if I just started executing on this one thing, my life would be dramatically better. I don't know what it is for you, right? I know I have them. So at any given time, like as you're listening to this podcast right now, identify that one thing in your life that if you were to change that, your life would be significantly better, and change it right now and don't ever look back.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow, wake up and there will be a new number one thing. But you go through a series of always improving that one little thing.
Yeah.
And you'd be shocked at the end of a year.
Yeah.
You know, you're probably ways away from a heart attack. You have better relationships. Your life is better. And it's just, you just have to take action.
Yeah. How do people get a hold of you?
Lots of ways. But John@CEO1440 is my email. Best place to find me, though, is on LinkedIn. I post there almost every single day.
Got it.
And it's just John Jerkovich. We'll put something in show notes with a link. But LinkedIn is where I'm at. You can find me. I'm posting videos, content all the time. And love to have conversations.
Yeah.
Thanks for bringing energy today, John.
It was great. You're welcome. It was fun.
Podcast. Yeah. Good stuff.
Thanks, Chad.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Yep. Bye-bye.